Good evening, Saints. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107. And before I read my scriptures, one of the things that I do when we have devotional is that I listen to the scriptures that are read to try to determine what the topic is going to be. And if you're diligent and if you were listening to some of the scriptures that was read, you might have a clue as to what the topic is going to be tonight. And the topic is going to be redemption, redeemed. And in particular, the topic is "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And that is lifted from Psalms 107 and verse number 2. But we're going to start at verse number one, and we're going to read down to about verse number 8 and lift some meaning from these scriptures. The Bible reads in Psalms 107, verse number 1, it says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, from whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness, and in all solitary way, they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of the hands of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." If you pay attention to some of the words that are said here in this psalm, we can see that this psalm, and if you continue to read the entire psalm, this psalm is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving for God and what he has done for us. Matter of fact, if I remember, if my study is correct, is that this is the third part of a three-part psalm. And what I mean by that is Psalm 105, 106, 107 are kind of together. And in this psalm, it talks about praising God for everything that he has done for the children of Israel. And if you look at some of the things and some of the words that the psalmist who wrote the psalm, and I believe is David, we see that some of the things can apply to us today. Now, when we talk about redemption or the word redeem, it's not something that rolls off our tongue each and every day. Right. I don't know when the last time I had a conversation, you know, just a regular conversation, and I brought up the word redeem. But if you really understand the word redeem, it's to the core of who we are today, especially those who are members of the Lord's body. It's essential to who we are. A matter of fact is that if you are a student of the Bible, you'll know that redemption runs through each and every page of the Bible. Whether you're starting in Genesis or you end in the book of Revelation, the whole story of the Bible is God's redemptive plan to save mankind. And we see so we see that redemption is something that those who are members of the Lord's body should be very familiar with. Now, when I talk about God's plan of salvation or God's scheme of redemption, I'm not talking about the five steps. No, that's man's part, you know, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's our part. But when we talk about God's scheme of redemption, we're talking about what God has done from the beginning of time all the way until today. God is still redeeming people today. So we have to take a look at redemption and see how redemption and being redeemed is core to who we are. You know, when I was studying this, I went to Job. Everybody turn with me to the book of Job. And once you get to the book of Job, you're going to see some things in Job chapter 19 and verse number 25. Now, this passage of scripture should be very familiar to everybody here because we sing this song every now and then. You know, I started to come up here and sing it myself, but I didn't want to embarrass our song leaders. So, but if you turn to Job chapter 19 and verse number 25, listen what it says here. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So we sing songs about redemption all the time. And we have to understand that we are the redeemed. In Psalms 107 in verse number 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But before we go there, we have to define what does redeem mean. Redeem means to buy back. That's what it means. It means to buy back. And you may ask yourself, what do I need to be bought back from? Each and every one of us, right? Each and every one of us who are members of the Lord's body have been redeemed. We have been bought back. And we have to understand that what God has brought us back from. Now, a good example that we can look at what God did with the Israelites. Everybody turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 6 through 8. Listen what the Bible says here. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with a great and with great judgment. And I will take you to me. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out under bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So we see God is telling that the Israelites, who at this time in Exodus are in physical bondage and slavery. And he said that he was going to bring them out, and he said that he was going to redeem them. I will redeem you with my outstretched arms. See, we see that if you're a student of the Bible, you'll know that when you look at a lot of things that you read in the Old Testament, God is kind of repeating the same thing when it comes to us. Now, when we see the Israelites, they were in physical bondage in Egypt. And when we look at ourselves, we are in spiritual bondage to sin today. And God has redeemed us and brought us out of sin and slavery. How do I know this? Everybody turn with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and the verse is going to be 16 through 18. 16 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And the Bible reads, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But thank be God that you were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which have delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. See, my point is that when we look at these passages of scriptures, whether we are talking about the Israelites in Exodus or we're talking about the Christians living today, each and every one of us at one time was under sin and bondage. And God has redeemed us. He has bought us back, right? And when we think about this, being bought back, right, it kind of interests me that you know, how did God buy us back? What did God do? At what price did it take to buy me back? And when we talk about, just think about every Christian in the world. Think about all the sin that's in the world, all the evil things that we have done and people in the world have done. And God said that I have a plan and I'm going to buy them back. But how does he buy us back? Because it reminds me of when I was younger, when I first came in the Air Force, right? And I remember being stationed in North Dakota. And people laugh about that. But I was stationed in North Dakota, and some of my friends were going to a festival in Canada. And I wanted to go, but I didn't have any money, right? Couldn't afford it. Didn't have any money. So what did I do? I went to a pawn shop, and I pawned something that was very dear to me. And I got money for it, and I did go to the festival. But when I came back to get my item that I pawned, guess what? The price of what I paid for it doubled. Now think about that. Now I want you to think about your sin. I want you to think about everything that you have done. And I want you to think about the price God paid to buy you back. Everybody turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now watch how precious this is. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm starting my reading at verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. It says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold." Now, wait a minute. Now, when we talk about silver and gold, right? And when we talk about silver and gold, we're talking about something that's a precious stone, something that's very, very costly, something that's very expensive, something that's precious, that costs a lot of money. But God tells us that, hey, we wasn't bought with that. That what we've been bought with is more precious than silver and gold. And it says here, it says, "For your vain conversation you received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or without blemish and without spot." We all have been purchased and bought back by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's some powerful blood. If you sit back and think about it, no matter what sin you have committed in your lifetime, God is willing to buy you back with the precious blood of Jesus. Each and every one of us had that opportunity. Do you understand how much love that takes? Not only that, to send his son to die on the cross, the place where we should have been. And he died on a cross in our place. And God still loved us that much that each and every one of us, when we fall short, each and every one of us, when we have not done the things that we're supposed to do, we got that precious blood of Christ. Even, and I'm not talking about those who are outside the church right now. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about Christians. Because that blood is so powerful, it's so strong that no matter what you have done, if you truly repent, the blood keeps washing. It never fades. That blood is so powerful. And you know how sometimes when you add water to things and it kind of weakens it or whatever? Nothing weakens this blood. And he has redeemed us. He has bought us back with this precious blood. Each and every one of us have been redeemed. But when we go back to Psalms 107, verse number 2, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Now, that's the problem. The problem is that we're not saying so. You know, one of the things that bothers me sometimes is that when somebody tried to put words in my mouth, they try to tell my story. Do you know that is what's happening each and every day, saints? People are out there telling your story. You are the redeemed. We are the redeemed. We are the ones that are supposed to be out here saying so. How can somebody tell my story when they wasn't even there? Think about that. We got people today that's out here telling stories that have not even been redeemed. They can't even get the story straight. You know, one of the things that we love to do is that we love to tell others about things that we got going on in our lives, right? You know, we'll tell them about, hey, you know, my you know, and I do it. I'm guilty of it. You know, I'm not going to lie. You know, I tell stories about, you know, watching my son, how proud I am of him when he's running track and when he wins his races and things of that nature. Or we tell about the new grandchild or new child that we had. We love telling everything else. But what have we told people about Jesus? You know, me and my wife, we talk about this all the time, is that she has a sister and I have a sister, and they're very similar. You know, they love to be on social media, you know, and you know, they tell their lies a lot on social media. So, you know, I have friends that actually, when they're at a restaurant, they actually take pictures of the dinner that they're about to eat. Telling people all about their business. But yet we can't tell somebody about the Lord. That is our job. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. I know I'm short on time, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. And these are some very familiar passages. Everybody know that Matthew chapter 28, starting at the end of the chapter, is the Great Commission. And we're going to start at verse number 18. And this is Jesus' last instructions before he is ascending back into heaven. In Matthew chapter 28, it says, "And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Those are our marching orders. Those are our marching orders. If you want another passage, go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. If you want another passage, go to Acts chapter 1. Matter of fact, everybody go with me to Acts. Because when we read the book of Acts, I was about to say class because I'm always, you know, yelling at my class. but when we read the book of Acts, I want you to understand that we're reading a book about evangelism. That's what we're reading about. We're reading about people going out and telling people about redemption. There are examples. You know, we love to go to Acts and show, hey, you got to be baptized. Look here. Right. But that ain't the purpose of Acts. That's not the main purpose of Acts. Acts is showing us examples of how 11 or 12 men evangelized the whole entire world. That's what it's about. And in Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to start my reading at verse number 8. Listen what it says here. It says, "But ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the othermost part of the earth." Now, if you follow the book of Acts, I say that scripture is the table of contents for the rest of the book of Acts. He says, what? You're going to go where first? Jerusalem. Where did the apostles start to preach the gospel? In Jerusalem. Then he says, what? They're going to go to Samaria. When did the gospel get to Samaria? Acts chapter 8. After that, he said, you're going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we see after that Paul picks up the gospel and he takes it to the Gentiles. So when you're reading the book of Acts, what you're reading is about men who is going out telling people about the redemption story. Now, if you want to be a Christian, a good Christian, we need to mimic these men. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Yes, you know, you can get nervous when you're door knocking. Yes, my heart kind of pounds a little bit when somebody opens the door because you don't know who's on the other side. But do you got faith? If you study your Bible and if you know your Bible, you have nothing to worry about. Because you got God's word. Can you imagine what the apostles went through when they were doing their missionary journeys? Did you read about what Paul went through? Everything that Paul went through. We can't skip these chapters. We have to say so, church. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because if we don't, who will? So we see that when it comes to the redemption story, it's our job. It's our job to go out and teach and tell people about the redemption story. Because again, who is going to get the story right besides the one that have already been redeemed? So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And maybe you really don't feel comfortable with talking to people. You know, some people, you know, so, you know, maybe you just can't get all the scriptures together. I understand that. But guess what? There's another way you can evangelize. Everybody turn with me, and I know I'm short on time. Everybody turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. And this is a very familiar verse, and it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Do you know that nowhere in the Bible do we hear Cain saying anything? Not one passage of scripture. But we know Cain does speak. Abel. We know that Abel does speak. How does Abel speak? Through his obedience. Through his lifestyle. So if you can't remember scriptures, if you get nervous because you're having a conversation with somebody, you know how you can let the Lord, the redeemer of the Lord, say so? Live the right way. It'll show. It will show. Trust me, it's not about all the scriptures that you may remember and all the scriptures you know. You know what goes a long way? If you're living by what you tell people. If you're living by what you preach. And we see Abel, Abel, right, was an example that each and every one of us can learn from today. You know, we got little children that learn about Cain and Abel. I guarantee you that there's not too many souls out there that don't know the story about Abel. And we see God tells us that he still speaketh today. Why? Because he's the first example of obedience when it comes to what God says in worship. So, if we have somebody this evening that maybe you have not been the Christian that you need to be, and that maybe you have not been saying so, maybe you have fallen short, maybe that the blood of Jesus, that precious blood that we talked about, the most precious thing that we have in this world, maybe you have fallen short. But God is faithful and he loves you. The only thing that you need to do is come up and repent. And guess what? That precious blood washes you again. Redeems us. Or maybe you're here and you have not yet obeyed the gospel. Don't you want to be redeemed? Don't you want to be bought back? Don't you want to be included in the family of God? Oh, you can do so. Did you hear about the gospel plan of salvation? Do you know that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins? Not just your sins, but the entire world. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, hey, you know what? I was living the lifestyle opposite of what the Bible tells me that I need to live. And when you come to a realization of that, are you willing to repent and realize that, hey, I need a change of direction? And once you want to change direction, you know what? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And I want to belong to him and him only. That's that good confession. And lastly, God tells us to get in the watery grave of baptism to wash our sins away. It's not the water. It's where God places the blood of Christ in the water. Again, water does not wash away sins. The blood of Christ does. If you're here tonight and you want to be a member of the body, you want to be a member of Redeemed, you can do so as we stand and sing the song of invitation.